All right, we want to go ahead and give you our updates for today. So good news is that we have three more counties that we are adding to the list. And as I keep saying, it's a story of addition and not subtraction. So the additional counties that have been added to the major declaration are Bamberg, Colleton, and Greenwood. So that is very good news on that front. I think that's a total of 19 counties so far that we have declared for that mandatory evacuation. There are going to be assessments today in Fairfield. Is that wrong? Did I say evacuations? Yes. I'm sorry. What?
They've been added for individual assistance.
So just clarify, if I start to mess up, y'all just pipe in. Let's start again. Three additional counties, Bamberg, Colleton, and Greenwood, totaling 19 counties.
For individual assistance.
For individual assistance, thank you. And we're doing assessments today in Fairfield and Lawrence. Yes, okay. Something that I want to just make very clear, because I think that through all of this, we've looked at people's homes that are damaged. I flew over some areas yesterday and to look at King Street, to look at Gavan's Ferry and all of that, there are no words to describe. I mean, these are boats and yards. These are rooftops. You can't even see the houses. These are areas that are just, it's devastating. It really is. But I want to shift and remind people that aside from the houses, we have had a lot of damages to small businesses. And we know that 95% of South Carolina's economy is small businesses. So for those areas, and for those small business owners, I am speaking to you as well as to any individual that has seen any damage whatsoever. Please call and register with FEMA. 1-800-621-FEMA. This is not just for individuals. If you are a small business and you call, they can help you. They can tell you what's available. Farmers as well. Anybody that has had any damage, please call 1-800-621-FEMA. We want to register as many people who have been affected by this event as possible as we go forward. And now I'm going to turn it back over to give another update. Mike Moore from FEMA.
Thank you, Governor. Good morning. My name is Mike Moore. I'm the federal coordinating officer for the floods that took place here in South Carolina with the Federal Emergency Management Agency. As the governor just mentioned, we do encourage everyone who suffered any sort of damage resulting from the floods to call 1-800-621-3362 or 1-800-621-FEMA, or you can also register by going to online to disasterassistance.gov. So far, as a result of the of that effort and registrations, we have over 25,000 registered applicants in the state of South Carolina. We've inspected 2,373 homes so far, and we have a $4.3 million that have been approved for distribution to individuals throughout the state. We have damage assessment teams for both individual assistance and public assistance moving through the counties that have been affected. We have two disaster recovery centers that have been opened in Lexington, and those two disaster recovery centers are located in the main library on Augusta Road in Lexington, and the Irma Library on St. Andrews in Columbia. And then finally, we do have a number of disaster survivor assistance teams that are going out throughout the impacted area. And those teams are able to assist those who may need help in registration. Thank you.
Thank you. And thank you, Mike. FEMA has been a fantastic partner, and we've been continuing to work with them and coordinate. But they are all boots on the ground and working, and so we appreciate their partnership. The four counties that we are pre-positioning, that we have already pre-positioned and are focusing resources on today are Charleston, Georgetown, Dorchester, and Williamsburg counties. We are going to continue to do house-to-house notifications as we go into those areas to check on people to make sure that they know if they need to get out. They will. We're still in that 72-hour period where we are focused, but that we are definitely watching areas specific areas in Georgetown County, in Jamestown, and south of Gavan's Ferry is what we're going to continue to watch. DOT continues to push very, very strong. They now have 35 assessment teams in 22 counties that they are working. We now are at 384 closures. 125 of those are bridge closures. We are also working with Midlands Transit, and that's to get the transit route 47 reestablished. That's down in the lower Richland County area. We're trying to get that up and running. The I-95 stretch that everybody has been interested in, those 13 miles of stretch is still closed. Let me explain why. You have 33 areas of concern on 9 of the bridges in that stretch. So that is the reason that Secretary Hall and her team continue to focus in on that, is we don't want to open that up until we know it's specifically safe. So that will continue to be closed. That's between the mile marker of 119 and 132. But the teams are continuing to work, and they will try and get that reopened as soon as possible. I think preferably on the southbound area is where we're trying to do that. Debris removal starts on Monday. So they've got their five teams, contractors together. They're getting prepared. So on Monday, you'll start to see that. So for road repairs, where do you start and how do you continue to do that? DOT has a great plan in place, and basically what they're going to do is they're going to categorize road repairs in three ways. One is going to be immediate need. The second will be those that are 2 to 4 weeks that are going to require repair, and then it's going to be long term. So that's how you're going to hear them talk about it. That's how we're going to continue to do that. They will have notifications. The DOT website is fantastic. So if you want to know more information as they have it, they continue to update that website so that we can do that. They have road and bridge contractors mobilizing in the next day or two, and they will be all working 7 days a week to get us up and going as we need to. We are holding, this is a good saving grace today, we are holding at 17 fatalities so far in South Carolina due to the storm. Our DPS has taken 6,235 calls for service so far. DNR and SLED, we are rechecking areas that we've already checked on before just to make sure there's no one else that needs to get out, no one else that has changed their mind, just to make sure that the areas are safe. And so you are also going to see, and this is where we're going to ask for everyone's help, there's going to be public service announcements that are going out by DNR. We don't need sightseers on these flood areas. And so DNR, if they see you on the water, they're going to ask you to leave. We are still in rescue mode. We don't need people out there on their boats. This is not a time to hang out and have fun, not to mention that it's contaminated water. So there will be patrol out there telling you to get off the water if you are on there now. So you'll start to see them patrolling a little bit more on that. They have, DNR has already done 810 water rescues, which is phenomenal. And some they did in Georgetown County yesterday. We have high water vehicles that are continuing to do rescues as needed, and DNR and SLED have started and continue to have looting patrols out just to make sure that everyone's property is protected and to make sure that even in the night areas we have enough observation and patrol in those areas so that people feel like they are protected and their property is protected. 23 shelters open now across South Carolina with 521 occupants. There will be 11 shelters that are being placed if they're not already up and running, and those will be added in Dorchester, Williamsburg, Georgetown, Horry, and Berkeley counties. Berkeley is going to open theirs up at 5 o'clock today. So those counties will be open as needed. In some cases, we may only have 10 people in a shelter, but if there's one person that needs shelter, we're going to do that. So wherever we need to do that, they're calling every 3 hours to make sure that the shelters have enough resources. This is a good problem to have, but I do need to let everybody know, don't bring any more resources to our shelters. I love that South Carolinians are being so generous, but the shelters now have too much, and we're now having to move things out of the shelters. So that's not where your donated goods need to go. I will give you the 800 number. We do need donations and things, but not at the shelters. So what we will ask is, they have enough manpower. and they have enough resources. So at this point, we don't need any more volunteers and resources at the shelters. We've got that covered, and should that change, we certainly will let you know that. 17 dam failures to date. 84 dams are being watched total, and that includes the 17 that we're looking at that continue to be monitored. Hospital needs are being met. All of our hospitals are okay, and everything is working well from the sanitation part. National Guard now has 3,826 great Guard members out there. We have North Carolina engineering units that are moving in. But to date, they've done 210 missions in 18 counties. So I continue to be extremely proud of our Guard as they move forward. And I'm going to have General Livingston give us an update on the Columbia Canal just so that y'all can get the status on that one.
Thank you, Governor. I'm Major General Bob Livingston, the Adjutant General for South Carolina. I want to give you a state perspective on the Columbia Canal. Both of the Columbia water plants are operational and fully operational. They are making provisions to operate the canal plant while we make the final repairs at the canal. The canal repairs are going well, and we expect significant progress in the next 48 hours. So, Columbia's doing a great job with this. It's great cooperation with everyone, and we're really very optimistic about the canal situation. Thank you, Governor.
Thank you. And I just want to thank General Livingston. He's been a great partner through Columbia Canal and everything else in terms of logistics and how we've moved forward. And so I'm just extremely thankful for him and all the Guardsmen. The Guard is starting to work with cities and counties. This is very important. The Guard's starting to work with cities and counties for rapid repairs on roads that aren't state roads. So any of the counties, they're already making contact with the cities and counties now to see who needs help and where. But that's a great resource and another way that they're starting to help by making sure that they get out there and start getting those local area roads repaired as fast as we can as well. Some good news that should warm the hearts of every South Carolinian is Harvest Hope has provided 381,867 meals to people. That is phenomenal. These aren't meals going to shelters. They're going door to door and giving meals to these people who whose homes have been destroyed, but they're still in them, cleaning them out. They're helping those people that desperately are in need. Salvation Army, 15,875 meals. There's 20 mobile feeding units out there. It's just a lot of neighbors helping neighbors and our great organizations out there across South Carolina that deserve a big pat on the back for helping us in a time of need. The Southern Baptist Relief, I heard they're assembling teams for mud and debris removal, which we were excited about. So, call to action. Today is Friday. It is day 9 since we have declared a state of emergency, and we are coming on a weekend. So if you think about that, the lower parts of the state where the water is flowing, we are staying out of those areas. We want just the first responders and the guardsmen and everybody to stay in those areas as we're keeping people safe and moving forward. But in the Midlands, in those areas, this is a call to action that if you want to help, don't go to a shelter. If you want to help, go to those neighborhoods that you know have seen trouble, that has seen damage in their areas, and you can help with cleanup. We're going to start debris pickup on Monday. There will be a more organized effort going forward, but when you go to these areas, go and help your neighbors. When you do that, remember, debris removal, if you have insurance, your insurance company will deal with the debris removal for you. If you don't have insurance, that debris needs to be separated out in 6 different categories. It's very important. And don't put it in the road, put it on the side of the road so that we keep the roadways clear. But if you want to go help neighborhoods separate out the debris removal, wear working gloves, wear boots, be safe as you do that. But your neighbors will appreciate the help in separating that out. Go to the DOT website if you want to know exactly what those 6 categories are. They're not going to sort this for you. They're not going to just pick up a big mess. It's got to be separated in those 6 categories. So please do that. But if people want to help, you know, it's the one thing is I think we need the help, but we don't need it in the shelters. We need it in the neighborhoods. We need it in the areas that have been damaged to help clean and pick up. So that is the call to action that I will tell you. You know, when people think of needs and what we need to have, duct tape and the orange industrial tape. More needs will be asked as we start to do debris removal, but you can go ahead and start with anybody that can donate duct tape and the orange industrial tape. We will start taking that. And again, the calls have been coming in for resources, but the call to donate volunteer time or money or to know any of this information is 888-585-9643. Again, to volunteer or donate resources, please call 888-585-9643. That will allow you to know which areas need help, which resources need help, and your energy will better go to those that need it. But, you know, we do realize that neighbors want to help neighbors, and that's the heart of South Carolina, and that's the part I love. But I think now let's go into debris mode and debris cleanup as we go forward. I want to leave you with this because there's a lot of people hurting out there right now and going through a lot. But this sweet girl, Emily, who I don't know, sent this drawing. She has special needs, but drew this, and it says, "We know things are tough right now, but know that we are thinking about you. I hope my picture cheers you up." So I show that because I hope that everybody gets cheered up by Emily and their pictures. And what we're seeing is everybody wants to do something. Everybody wants to help in some way. And even little Emily found her way to help. So thank you for all of the prayers and the blessings that people keep giving out. We are continuing to go through this. We'll continue to go through the weekend, but we're going to be okay. And with that, I will open it up for any questions that anyone may have for me or for my team behind us.
Governor Haley, are nonprofits available for FEMA assistance?
Yes, ma'am. Certain nonprofit agencies are available for FEMA assistance. It depends on how they would contribute to the public cause. In other words, if a church might have a daycare center open to the public, they could be eligible, just as an example.
Do they go through the same process to fill out, call the number and register that way, or do they have a special process?
That actually is a little bit of a different process. FEMA will reach out. That's under the public assistance program, and we will reach out through the state, our partners with the EMD, to notify those agencies and private nonprofits that could benefit from that program.
Thank you. And one more reminder before we go into questions is that if you are going into this cleanup and the debris cleanup, if you haven't had a tetanus shot, I'm going to have Director Heigl come and talk about what we're doing with the tetanus shots in terms of what's needed and how people can stay safe as they go through the cleanup as well.
Yes, so we urge you to get a tetanus shot if you've not had one within the last 10 years. And if you aren't sure, which I know many of us fall into that category, you can go safely get another tetanus booster. We will be working to open some localized clinics on Sunday in the Midlands area to assist those that might be in the debris cleanup mode. And we will make that information available on our website and through the EMD website once we have those locations determined. And then, of course, next week, anytime, you can always go to your local health clinic, and we are waiving the administrative fee for those shots. So thank you.
And then we're working on mobile units as well. But, again, we'll keep giving you that information as it goes forward. Yes.
Hi, Governor. Yesterday you had some very strong warnings for people in the Georgetown area and also along the coast, asking some folks to voluntarily evacuate. We spoke to a couple of emergency management officials over there that perhaps don't share such a dire assessment. How real is the threat to Georgetown?
You know, what we said was, if they come knock on your door, please leave. What we said yesterday is what we're going to say today. They are going door to door. There are areas of Georgetown County. There's areas of those other three areas that we mentioned as well down in that area where the water is coming. If they come to your door, it is time for you to leave. We don't need you to think about it. We need you to be prepared. We need you to go, and we don't want to have to come back and check on you after that. So, you know, it is what it is. And again, these areas, sometimes in the coastal areas, they get very comfortable because they're used to going through a lot. But what we want to tell you is if we show up, we're showing up for a reason.
But is the threat widespread, or is it more geared towards the rural areas?
It's specific areas of those counties. So as it's in those specific areas, that's the reason why the Guard and DNR and SLED and all is they're doing door-to-door areas. And so we want to make sure that people, you know, if you're in this area, you know, if you're on a river or if you're near a river, but there's areas past that they're going to knock on your door and you're going to think you don't need to leave and you do. So we've worked very closely with those areas to make sure that they know which areas those are and how they need to go forward.
And one more question. You mentioned earlier that we're in a rescue mode, or at least some areas are in a rescue mode. Would you say the state of South Carolina is still in a rescue mode or in a recovery mode?
So I think it depends. You know, in some areas, you can look at the Midlands. We're very much into assessment and recovery as you go forward. But the further down you go into the state, we're still in response mode. And so we won't get to assessment mode until this weekend or Monday. And in a lot of cases, those areas are going to stay flooded, and we won't be able to get in there for a while. I mean, if you looked at King Street or if you looked at Gavan's Ferry, the water's going to go down, and in some cases, 3 to 4 feet in a day. But there's a lot of water. So it just depends on when we're safe enough. I mean, so much of what Secretary Hall is doing is, you know, when I tell you her assessment teams are in certain counties, they can't get into all the counties yet because it's not safe. In areas where the Guard's going in there with all of our law enforcement and firefighters, they're going in there to try and make it safe and pre-positioned to get people ready. So, you know, this again is if we call you, we need you to leave. If they knock on your door, we need you to leave. And those areas over the next 72 hours, we're still watching very closely.
Governor, on I-95, you mentioned that you have 33 areas of concern on 9 of the bridges in the closed area. Can you help us understand perhaps the timeline, what those areas of concern mean, and how long this effort might take? Is it repair, or are you still in assessment down there?
Yes, I'm Christy Hall, the Secretary for the DOT here in the state. On that 13-mile section of 95, there are 9 pairs of bridges, so 18 bridges total. And essentially what we're able to do is to do an underwater assessment of the foundation of the bridges. And in areas that may be washed away where the foundation is, we're going to go in and we've developed a repair technique to get those repairs made. We are mobilizing a contractor out there to start the work. He is anticipated to be on site first thing tomorrow to begin the repair, and we'll prosecute that work as quickly as we can, daylight and dark, to get the interstate reopened. That, from a road standpoint, that's a very high priority for us to restore that mobility in the state.
And does each of those 9 pairs of bridges each have that similar?
It's spread out. It's not one bridge has more or one bridge has less. It's sporadic based on the underwater current conditions in the locations.
And again, some kind of time frame. It sounds like this is, they have to be very careful.
Well, we've developed our top bridge engineer has been on site and has been in the area every day, assessing it and making engineering determinations on what the repairs need to be. We're committed to getting it done as quickly as possible. That's why we're asking the contractor to work daylight and dark to get the road reopened. I don't have a specific timeline. I can't tell you if it's going to take 1 day, 2 days, or longer, but I can tell you that it's our top priority from a mobility standpoint statewide.
And you have 3 categories that you've placed the various road systems in. Can you give us a detail about how many might fall into each area?
Well, that's part of the damage assessment that we're doing on our roads and bridges, and we're still compiling that information. As soon as we get something that we feel is comfortable to release at this point in time with regards to how many and which category, we will be releasing that as soon as possible. And of course, that's going to be a dynamic document. So as the floodwaters recede throughout the state, we're going to add things on and take things off. I can tell you our maintenance employees are giving their very best to try to get temporary repairs in place to get the roads and bridges serviceable. Obviously, we want everything to be safe, but we're working not only with our internal forces, but contractors that we're bringing on board to try to get the road reopened and our bridges serviceable again.
And those people who are in Florida or Maine and want to go from one place to the other, is the workaround, the detours on the other interstates, that's all fine? You think that is a safe route for people?
Absolutely. Absolutely, it's safe. Uh, we we are not going to have a road open that's not safe or bridge. So the detour that we've put in place is working very well. That's part of the reason that we wanted to get the interstate system around the Columbia area open as quickly as possible so we can effectively reroute that traffic around 95. And we've had a lot of hits on our webpage. We've had 2.5 million people visit our webpage to look at road closures and detours and routing.
Right now, what is the timetable for assessment in Richland County?
That's ongoing. We've been in the area ever since the floodwaters receded, looking at the state roads, and we're working to establish a relationship closely with the county to look at their roads as well as the city as needed.
When do you think it might be finished? So you can figure out what needs to be repaired first, second, so forth.
Well, the situation, as the governor had mentioned yesterday, is that as the waters recede and the area dries out, we're starting to see additional road problems develop, and so it's a chasing target a little bit for us. So we're still very much in the response mode, somewhat on some roads in the Midlands area.
Governor, this may be too early of a question with the whole state not being in assessment mode yet, but any idea, an early estimate of how much this whole disaster may end up costing?
No, and I wouldn't even attempt at this point. Our focus right now really is, I mean, dollars don't mean anything to me at this point. It's making sure, first, that we're keeping everybody safe. Second, as we go through the assessments, that we do it right and that we're careful in the way that we do it, that our rural counties are being helped with assessments. DOT's been fantastic. Certain counties are calling them in, and cities are calling and saying, will you help us with assessments? So Secretary Hall has teams out there to do that. The fact that the National Guard is going in helping with, you know, those local repairs as well. I mean, this is all hands on deck. I keep saying that, but it really is. It's everybody trying to help assess in any way that we can. The way that FEMA has been assisting and doing that, I think, you know, you're going to see this next week and next couple weeks being a lot of assessments. So to throw out a number would be irresponsible at this point.
Senator Graham has thrown out topping $1 billion.
I wouldn't even attempt to do this right now. I mean, after seeing what I saw over the plane ride yesterday and the last couple of days, every ride I've taken, I mean, this is damage at levels I've just never seen before. Having said that, I'm going to leave that to the experts and let them decide what those numbers are.
Governor Haley, day 9 says the state of emergency was declared. For most, the immediate danger is gone and close to being ended for some others. How are you feeling now? Are you starting to get a sense of relief?
No. Not yet, because, you know, we're still in response mode down on the low country. And so that's why, you know, our focus is very much on those areas that we want to be careful of, those four counties we want to continue to watch and monitor. We've got people pre-positioned. We're making sure that we're going back and checking those areas that were hit heavy by the floods just to make sure there's nobody else that needs help. So it's very much in rescue mode, very much in response mode to make sure we're taking care of that. You know, from the upper part of the state down to the Midlands, I think we're getting to where everybody's kind of starting to see what's underneath the water. And, you know, that's the part that I think people haven't realized is, you know, when you go down across the lower part of the state, there's a lot of water. Underneath that water is the South Carolina we remember. You know, underneath that water is that state that's so beautiful that, you know, is damaged, but we have to fix. And so that's the part we just don't know yet. But we'll get there. You know, we'll take it a day at a time, and we'll get there.
Director Heckel, can you give us an update on the assessments that you're going through on the dams? Sure. I know you're checking them at the moment. How far along are you? And what are you doing if you do find that there are dams that are sort of in imminent danger?
Okay, so update on the dams. As the governor mentioned before, we have 17 that have breached. And we have a total of 84, including those 17, that we are monitoring. So what does that mean? What that means is that there have been reports of damage. Either those are our reports from our field engineers or self-reports from the owners. And so we have deployed teams that are currently out in the field. Those are DHEC personnel, and those are Army Corps personnel. And they are reporting back on the conditions of those dams that they're inspecting. And then that information, we are, as we have it and have assessed it, then making that public pretty much real time with the public. Now, what that should not be confused with is that these are new failures, right? So there are a lot of very rural impoundments, and we are coming across some, as we did yesterday, that have breached. and those get added to the list, but that does not mean that there's still peril associated with those dams. So I just wanted to make that clear so that there's not some unnecessary panic if that number should grow.
Are you looking at dams that aren't regulated by DHEC or the Army Corps as well?
We are looking at all dams that are reported to us, and many of them are unregulated, where we're asked to do so. The regulated population, as you know, as I mentioned the other day, is very significant. And so the way we are going about the process is we categorize dams C1, C2, C3 based on the hazard level. And all of this is available on our website as well. And so we have prioritized in those areas of heaviest impact here in the Midlands in particular, the C1 and the C2 dam inspections. And so that's kind of the process that we're following.
Thank you. Any other questions?
Are you worried at all about the reports for rain on Saturday?
So we could get up to an inch of rain. The areas of concern are those that are already flooded because it'll add to it. But I think, you know, when we were meeting today from it, and I may have Kim step up and talk about that. The only areas that are going to feel that, I think, are the areas that are already flooded. We think everything else should be okay. But Kim, do you want to add some to that?
The indicators are Kim Stenson, Director of State Emergency Management Division. The indicators are it will not impact heavily on what's already fallen. So they're not expecting any big difference in terms of what's already predicted.
Unfortunately, when you think about an inch compared to the feet of water we've had, I think we've been very blessed to have a clear week of no rain. Okay, any other questions? All right, thank you all very much. Stay safe. We'll see you next time.